Private Equity Talk, der Podcast des Private Equity Magazins.
Welcome everybody. I'm very happy to host this next interview with Vera Futojanski. Our topic is going to be current trends and challenges of early stage venture capital investments. Vera, you have more than 7 years of specific venture capital experience in this field. You have worked internationally. Please give us a brief introduction about yourself and your current work projects.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So at the moment, I'm based in Dubai. I've been in Dubai for almost 6 years now. I'm advising a family office on everything on VC, venture capital and investment related. We're building actually a VC arm for the family office right now. Before that, I was with a company called 500 Startups, which is an early stage VC fund out of San Francisco, the most active VC fund in the world in terms of small checks. I do a lot of small checks in many startups globally. I was managing the Middle East, North Africa region for them and Russia. And before that, I was with Rocket Internet for a few years. So that's where you could say my VC and venture building career really started.
Thank you so much. So we have within the last few months, I think all of us experienced a very special, challenging situation with this global pandemic, COVID-19. So how has that specifically affected your work within the last weeks?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it affected it a lot. I think here in Dubai, as well as everywhere in the world, things have changed. We are obviously, I'm at home, you're at home. So we're having this on Zoom now. Very typical. It has affected a lot of startups that are, in different areas than those that became the winners of this pandemic, if you like to say it like that. So, everything digital, everything that, doesn't require you to actually go out, obviously picked up a lot here as well. A trend that I see a lot here in the region is a cashless payment, so fintech startups have done really well. And that's really interesting because, when I moved here to the region, credit card payments was really rare. I remember actually with Rocket Internet, and one of the companies here is a big fashion online company they built, and it was always cash on delivery. People didn't like paying by cards, and Saudi was the biggest market, but it was always cash on delivery. And now, because of safety reasons, people don't want to touch money. Cashless payment has accelerated immensely. So those startups are doing really well. That's a big trend. Obviously, education online, health tech is really big. And also health tech is actually really important here for the region, for us as well. I recently read some statistics. We only have, I think, 1.3 doctors for 1,000 people compared to almost 4 doctors per 1,000 people in Europe. So we have a lot of work to do here. And obviously, if you have it's online on your app that you can access a doctor, don't necessarily have to go to see one, that helps a lot. So health tech really picked up here, and also food tech. And it's a topic I'm really bullish about, food tech in general, and so I can speak about it already now.
Please.
Here in Dubai, we import almost 85% of our food, right? So with supply chains haven't broken overnight pretty much, even though we never had a shortage of anything here. But still, I think it made a lot of governments and people realize that you have to become so much more self-sufficient. So I think agriculture tech and food security in general will become a big topic here for us in the region. And I'm really looking forward to that. In fact, actually, I have friends who work for a hydroponic farming company, and they just delivered 2 boxes of lettuce for me yesterday.
Oh.
Now eating hydroponic farmed lettuce from Abu Dhabi. So that's quite special. And so, yeah, I see some clear winners, unfortunately some losers as well. But, to go back to your question, I think I'm a big believer of the never waste an opportunity mindset. So, and we've experienced that in our lifetime already a couple of times. If you think back to the dot-com bubble that gave birth to some of the biggest companies like Google or Amazon, then if you think to the financial crisis, that was an impetus for all the fintech or decentralized systems, and obviously all cryptocurrency, blockchain, it all kind of was born then. but also some of the most used apps that we have now on our phones, even, you know, like Uber, Airbnb, Netflix, were all born out of the financial crisis. So I'm quite positive that this crisis will also be, you know, birth to some of the most amazing startups that we can't even think of right now. Probably it might be in the travel industry, because we need to rethink our way of traveling, our way of, you know, going to hotels. It might be, you know, education or health, you know, ag tech, of course, as well. So I'm quite, I'm positive about this. Of course, I don't want to belittle the crisis. It's a huge pandemic and it has affected us here a lot as well. But I do think for startups, it's it could be a great opportunity. Yeah.
So would you also say that investors, or you from an investor's perspective, they won't take this crisis as an excuse to maybe be more cautious with your investments, but you rather would like to see it as a challenge to say, okay, now we have this crisis, now we have new challenges to overcome, so we should invest more, kind of, or even faster, or even come up with solutions faster and support these creative founders in order to overcome it? So it's not a stop on investment from your investor's perspective.
Yeah, so, you know, I observed a sentiment shift. In the beginning, everybody was super careful and people tried to say, okay, let us kind of, you know, hold the money for now, not invest, let's observe the situation. Then people realized it's not going to be over in a couple of weeks. So you can't just hold back. Also, most of the funds that have raised a couple of years ago, you know, they've been investing for a while already. So it's not, you know, those funds that are already in investment phase, I think they held back a little bit, but now most of the investors I speak to actually really seeing this as an opportunity and are investing. Obviously, you do your due diligence. The trend first was to invest in your own portfolio companies first before you go to others. But now I see if you are a startup founder and you have, you know, a product that either is really useful now already or will be useful afterwards, because obviously as a startup founder, you, and they're great. I mean, most of them I speak to, they're very, you know, they're very creative, very agile in a way of thinking. We need them for, you know, innovation. And I worked a lot on building ecosystems, and I always feel startups are the integral part, you know, of any economy for any country, you know, because they are so integral for innovation and this whole ecosystem building. So as a VC, it's almost, we are, you know, we need to support them in order for them to be able to innovate. And they are now looking at what will be those new new behaviors, right? So we almost need to think forward a lot. You know, this foresight is really crucial now for people who are building startups, or, you know, or pivoting their existing startups. You need to have the foresight of understanding how will we change our behaviors from what we have now to, you know, in the next months or years to come. And startups that come up with great ideas, even if they are not existing portfolio companies already, I think they have a good chance to receive investments. I really see that the VCs that has picked up a lot, people are investing now. It's not as it was, let's say, in March, where people were really careful.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear this out of your mouth, because that's my current that's my current view on things as well. Because as a lawyer, I have also noticed a lot of movement in the market. I see as many deals as before. Obviously, within the due diligence processes, a new let's say Corona point is included. You know, people evaluate how this pandemic or others may affect the business case in future. But still, I agree totally that I have not noticed a major stop in the early stage investment. It may differ a little bit if it comes to corporate investors. I have a feeling of them being a little bit more restrictive at the moment, but that may have other reasons, because they don't have necessarily have a investment period to keep up with, etc. So they may be a little bit more relaxed or cautious in these cases.
You know, Eva, and I see actually our family offices. So I feel family offices, and I can speak obviously on behalf of all, but at least in the region, I see the trend that family offices became very interested in technology. I mean, five of the biggest companies are tech companies, right? If you look at the stock market of Apple, Microsoft, you know, Amazon, they're all technology companies. And I think the family offices here in the region who used to normally invest in real estate or, you know, something a bit more, let's say, tangible in their view, right, mm-hmm. are now looking at technology investments, and it's mostly the young generation family offices. So that's an interesting trend I've observed as well, where family offices either investing on their own or they actually come together to invest jointly into technology startups.
Mm-hmm. So do you think technology startups have a corona advantage versus like non-tangible startups or companies, because they are, by virtue of their business case, have a closer connection to digitalization, remote access, etc.?
Well, I am in technology, so I'm a bit biased. I do think okay. technology startups are the winners of this mm-hmm. of this, you know, pandemic. So and I'm a big believer in technology. So okay. yeah. I mean, even if I speak about technology, it's still technology related. So being, you know, hydroponic farming or aquaponic farming mm-hmm. or you know, health apps or education online. So that's all connected to technology. So I think those will do really well. If you're a startup that has or if you have a restaurant, that's of course more difficult now. But if you're a startup in travel industry and you pivot to something, you know, new and interesting, I can potentially, you know, there might be, you know, big opportunities as well. I mean, some of the sovereign, you know, the PIF, Public Investment Fund, it's Saudi Arabia's mm-hmm. biggest sovereign wealth mm-hmm. fund. They recently invested in Carnival Cruises, you know, which is not necessarily an investment you would think of to do right now, you know, mm-hmm. if you kind of logically or short term, but they're thinking long term, you know, so mm-hmm. the whole one, Carnival Cruises, you know, to pick up again, or the whole travel industry. And because it's a big untapped market for Saudi Arabia, the whole tourism mm-hmm. market, so by investing in a cruise liner, they're actually opening up to tourism. So that's a very kind of long-term investment thinking.
So when we talk about long-term investment strategies or views, what do you think is a major focus that you wish for investors to keep in mind when talking about long-term investment other than just financial return?
Yeah, well, you know that I'm really passionate about impact investing, right? So I really not only think about, you know, in return on investment, but we actually really think about people who will be benefiting on that. And I say, you know, return on people. And return on people has been used a lot by kind of thinking of employees who work in companies. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, that's super important. I'm all about creating a culture, and it all goes, you know, top down. Leadership is super important. But when I say return on people, I also mean the ones, the consumers, the ones who will be benefiting from that. And that's why I'm so bullish, you know, on technology, because imagine, you know, you are, you have access to education now, and we know how, you know, how limited many people are, you know, in remote areas. And I'm thinking mostly even of girls, you know, girls don't get so much access to education already now. And we know that they are the driving force, you know, if we really want to, know, improve our economies. So if a girl in a remote village in India, Nigeria now can access education online, and of course that's assuming they have access to technology, because that's also not a given everywhere. So, but assuming they have, you know, phones or, you know, iPads or laptops, if they can access, you know, education online, that's huge, you know. And if we can invest in those startups that offer that education online to people, to, you know, young kids in remote villages, I think that can make a big difference. So then, you know, you have your return on investment as an LP in the funds, you know, mm-hmm. but you also get, you really impact lives. Mm-hmm. So you impact, I think Peter Diamandis uses that a lot, that you impact a billion lives. So how does he call it something? There's a certain phrase he uses, but he talks about impacting, become a billionaire means impact a billion lives, not have mm-hmm. $1 billion in your company. So it's really, and same with health, you know, that's why mm-hmm. I think tech is a big area of interest for me as well. And I'm thinking of, you know, my own vision, you know, mm-hmm. if I have a fund, is health mm-hmm. tech and ed tech and ag tech most probably, mm-hmm. because health tech and wellness and mental health falls under that as well. I think mental health became a big topic now as well, which I'm really happy about, especially because here in the region, we have a big stigma about kind of talking about mental health. It's not really done mm-hmm. or failing, you know, people mm-hmm. not to speak about failing or failures. And now some of the successful entrepreneurs have started speaking about it. So that's a big improvement. So the whole health area, and I think, you know, I might have mentioned it before, but, you know, if you can have access on your phone to doctors, and that mm-hmm. goes back to the same, you know, remote areas, I think we can save so many lives, you know, just by mm-hmm. Being able to quickly recognize, does this needs, you know, is there something that can be solved at home, or do you need to go to the hospital immediately? So I think this, you know, so yeah, impact investing, impacting lives, impacting as many people as we can by helping them, you know, either get out of poverty, by educating them, become healthier, by creating, you know, give access to health apps, by talking about mental health. And I was really happy to hear recently, I spoke to somebody who does a lot of work and impact here in the region. And I was told that a mental health startup in Saudi Arabia is doing really well. That was, you know, I think that's amazing, because that's very much, you know, a region or a culture of not wanting to lose face. And if you say that you mm-hmm. have some mental health issues, it's almost kind of, it's considered like losing face. But now that we speak mm-hmm. about it openly, I think we can create a lot of impact, you know, and help people succeed. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much, Vera. So to sum it up, I think it's a very good and honest, and also I think very futuristic approach to also focus on this return on people aspect. You already mentioned health and also food tech, or the areas of health tech and food tech that you are very interested in. My understanding is especially because the return on people in these fields can be enormous. So thank you very much for this brief interview. Thank you for your time. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And obviously the audience is happy to comment our video, reach out to you directly, or ask if they have further questions in the aftermath. And for now, I would like to thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Danke fürs Zuhören. Alle Folgen unseres Podcasts zu aktuellen Themen der Private Equity Branche gibt es auf unserer Magazinseite www.pe-magazin.de oder als Abo via Spotify und iTunes unter dem Namen Private Equity Talk.